Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. And definitely take Christy up on reading those lyrics. Beautiful. Powerful. That last little line in the fourth verse says, "Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last." Here comes the bride. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. I pray that your word would pierce our hearts. Lord, that you would just love us so much that you will do whatever it takes in our lives and in the lives of those that we love to be ready for that glorious day when we shall meet at last. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Sabbaths ago, we started a little mini-series looking at this subject, and I've dealt with it before, of Jesus and the way God relates to his church is the way a husband, a groom, relates to his bride. And so we continue today with this part two, Here Comes the Bride. Notice in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was," what's that word there? "Delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and go buy some for yourself.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Throughout Scripture, God relates to his church as a husband and a bride. You see this throughout the Scriptures. It is this beautiful narrative. When God talks about, and I'm excited because I'm working on a series, next Sabbath we start on Exodus. And it's so exciting. But when God thinks of his time with his church in Exodus before the exile, he looks back on it like it was him and his bride's honeymoon, when he took her out into the wilderness and wooed her. And that's the way God thinks of his church. In Hosea, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. In Hosea, it says, "I will betroth you to me for how long? I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and in steadfast love and in mercy." And so the narrative of the Scripture, and above all else, Scripture is a narrative. It is a narrative, it is a story of God, and it is a story that God invites us to join in on. The narrative of Scripture is a love story. God keeps professing his love to his church. God keeps proposing to his church. But just like in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, God's bride keeps leaving him hanging at the altar. But the good news is that our Hosea never gives up on us. I want you to go and marry that woman again, that prostitute. Hallelujah. Our Hosea never gives up on us. My sermon, Here Comes the Bride. And when you study this parable, you discover that it is one of 3 parables dealing with the nature of the coming of Christ's kingdom. And we looked at one of them not too long ago in the parable of the talents. And in this, we see this powerful illustrations time and time again. And if you had to sum up this parable in a few words, it would be, the kingdom is closer than you think, so get ready. And whether, hey, friends, whether Jesus comes in your lifetime or not, let me tell you, the kingdom of God is closer than you think. We are never promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. So according, and throughout the parable, you keep running into this words, be awake, stay awake, be watchful, be aware. You know, we see it like three or four times in this series of parables. And what's ironic about this is that in the very next chapter, Jesus comes and finds his disciples sleeping. But hallelujah, our Hosea never gives up on us. In Matthew 21:25-1, it says that these 10 virgins took lamps with them when they go to meet the bridegroom. So in our modern day and area, people don't normally get married in the middle of the night. But in this culture, listen to this, torchlight processions late in the evening were extremely common. And so the bridal party would take lamps in order to guide everyone along the way to the wedding reception. I hope you know that that's God's goal for the church. I hope you know that is God's goal for the church. You see, Matthew 5:14 says that you are the light of the world. We read, notice in Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. You see, the purpose of light is to help people see, right? So my question to you today is, does your life help people see God? Does your kindness help people see God? Is the way you are reacting to this election show people God more or less? Does your marriage, parents, help your children see God's plan for marriage? Or are your kids thinking, man, I never want to get married? Does your generosity help or hinder people from seeing God? Does your generosity display the generosity of God? Like David shared, God gave us his best. How dare you give him what you have left over? What I'm saying is, friends, these virgins took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. You see, Christians are called to carry the light of Christ. In Revelation 1, John is given this vision of the heavenly sanctuary, and he sees this seven-branch menorah, which not only represented seven churches in Asia in the first century, but actually represents the church all the way down through history. And when we read about this menorah, God had a command to Israel. He says, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. We need Christians who show the love of the light of Christ regularly. Amen. In fact, one of the words that regularly means continually. There's no such thing as part-time believers. There's no such thing as off-duty Christians. We're always on call, amen? Not just the pastors on call, we're all on call. We're to be keeping that light bright and burning continually. There is never a time that your light's not shining. And let me tell you, the way your light shines at church has nothing on being a witness as your light shining in the community during the week. Should have gotten at least a few more amens than that, friends. A lamp without light is worthless. Notice what Jesus tells the church of Ephesus, if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Why is Jesus going to remove their lampstand? Because they're no longer shining their light. You see, a light is worthless. A lamp is worthless without light. And so Jesus says, let your light shine. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Christians are called to be a bright and steady light that people can follow all the way to the wedding reception. Just like in those ancient times, the bridal party would show the way with their light to the wedding party, to the wedding feast. That is the calling of Christians. And so because this is their job, the bridesmaids had to take enough oil to keep their lamp burning for as long as necessary. Notice, and according to Matthew, it says that the bridegroom was delayed. The bridegroom was delayed. Did you know this Greek word for delayed, chronizo, it means longer than expected. It means longer than necessary. You see, ever since the first Christians watched Jesus ascend, Jesus' return has taken longer than expected. The first disciples thought they would see Jesus. You know, every generation has been waiting and expecting, and Jesus' return seems to take longer than expected. And just when we think it can't get any worse, it does. But not only does the chronizo mean longer than expected, it means longer than necessary. You see, when you read Peter, very clearly says in his epistle, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. He is not slow or slack concerning his promise, but he wants to save as many people as possible. And that's why my sermon's title is not Here Comes the Bridegroom. No, you see, we're waiting on the bride. Here comes the bride. It's taking longer than necessary. Listen, if we shared the good news as much as the bad news, if we got as excited about the gospel as we get about our political party, if we spoke kind things as much as we speak cruel things, if we served others as much as we served ourselves, listen to me, friends, we would be in heaven already. We would be in heaven already. But we are not yet doing what God has called us to do. It's taking longer than necessary. The bridegroom was delayed, longer than expected and longer than necessary. Matthew 25, 2 through 3. So five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, check this out, they took no oil with them. Now, why would you bring a lamp and forget extra oil? Why would you think to bring a lamp, but not any oil? That sounds like they didn't really plan through things. It's as though deep down, they didn't really believe the wedding would actually ever happen. Sometimes when I look at the Seventh-day Adventist church, I think, man, we're not even acting like we believe Jesus is coming soon. It's like we don't even care. It's like we don't care. Why would you bring a lamp without any oil? It seems as though these foolish virgins are just going through the motion. You see, the parable calls them virgins, which, by the way, they call them virgins not because they haven't had sexual intimacy with a spouse. When in the ancient times, when they called them virgins, what that primarily meant was that they were old enough to be married. They were of marital age, but yet these are not yet committed. So that is virgins. I find it interesting that the church in the last days is portrayed as not yet being committed to Christ. Maybe they're going to church because that's what their parents did. They went to church. Maybe they go to church because they want their children in church. And look, those things can get you in the church. Those things cannot keep you in the church. Listen to me, friends. This is key. I've had the privilege of marrying several young couples recently, post-COVID, And the thing, when I do premarital counseling and when I talk to them, I always will tell them, we do not drift into a life of consistent and committed companionship with each other. That doesn't happen by accident. Okay? That marriage is not some hopscotch through life. No, marriage, look, we can't drift into a life of consistent, committed companionship with Jesus any more than we can drift into a good marriage. It doesn't happen by accident. It is a daily decision of commitment. It is doing things not always because they come naturally, but sometimes it means doing things because they don't come naturally, because I made a promise to someone. I know it's not easy to come to church right now. It has become so easy for us not to go, but let me tell you, it is dangerous. Marriage is a decision. It's a daily decision to nail your agenda to the wall, to the cross. It is a daily decision to nail yourself so that you can love and serve the other. That's what it takes for a healthy marriage. That's what it takes for a marriage with Christ. And so these foolish virgins just seem to be going through the motions. They don't really expect the wedding to take place. Matthew 25:4, the wise, on the other hand, took flasks of oil with their lamps. In the book Christ Object Lesson, she calls them flagons of oil, extra oil. Now, throughout the Bible, oil is compared to the Holy Spirit. You see it throughout Scripture. The Holy Spirit is compared to the oil. In Zechariah 4, you have this amazing parallel with this. No doubt that as God is giving this powerful parable to Jesus, he's thinking of the vision to Zechariah. In Zechariah 4, an angel wakes the prophet up, and he sees a seven-branch menorah, and he sees two olive trees. And that's where we run into this powerful statement. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Let's be clear, friends. The only way we can ever shine till Jesus comes is if we are filled up with the Holy Spirit. The only way we can love people the way we need to be loving them is if we are filled up with the Holy Spirit. The only way Republicans will love the Democrats like they need to, the only way the Democrats will love the Republicans like they need to, is if we are filled up with the Holy Spirit. Because that does not come naturally. The Holy Spirit is what we need, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. God needs to step inside of us and live victorious for us because we cannot do it on our own. Notice, the helper, we need some help, friends. The helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. How many things? And bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Man, we need help from the Holy Spirit. John 16:8 says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sin, but not just sin, righteousness and judgment. That's that voice telling you, turn this way or that. That's that voice we need in our lives right now more than ever. Because you see, the devil is a master of making you think good stuff, that bad stuff is good stuff, and bad stuff is good stuff. He's excellent at doing that. He'll get people just shouting their religious convictions of Christianity while hating their neighbor. We need someone bigger than us to step inside of us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and truth. Notice it says, continuing, it says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." You can't bear everything at once, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We need power, friends, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Friends, we need an extra filling of that Holy Spirit power. Notice what it says here, 2 Timothy 2:14, speaking of the Holy Spirit, this is important because it directly connects with today's parable. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good what? Entrusted to you. Guard and treasure the Holy Spirit deposited into your life because it is only by his power that we can ever make it. In the book, Christ Object Lessons, notice, she is speaking of the foolish virgins. They have regard for the truth. They like the truth. They have advocated the truth. They are attracted to those who believe the truth, but they have not yielded their life to the Holy Spirit's working. You see, on the surface, this is what's amazing. On the surface, these women look exactly the same. They're dressed the same. They're waiting for the bridegroom the same. They're carrying their lamps the same. They're shouting amen the same, or not saying anything the same. They're bringing their Bibles to church the same. Both fell asleep. You see, from the outside, everyone looks exactly the same. And that's because people can look saved on the outside and still be lost on the inside. Friends, people can look like they have it all together on the outside, but still be falling apart just below the surface. Half of the bridal party is going to run out of oil. I hope you know just living in a broken world burns oil. Yeah, this last week burned up so much of your oil, you don't even know. All that news watching, man, you were burning up some oil. Stress, pain, and problems. A pandemic. This year we burn more oil than the last 20 years. It burns the oil. Loneliness burns the oil. A bad economy burns the oil. A bad job market burns the oil. A bad marriage burns the oil. Bad habits and bitterness and bad attitudes burns the oil. When the church argues with each other, we are burning vital oil that we should be burning for Christ. You see, friends, some of us rolled into the church today and we are running on fumes. Come on, I've been there. Some of us rolled into church running on fumes. You see, we've been burning our candles at both ends. We always have time for everything else, but we never seem to have time for God. You're burning too much oil. When our faith becomes more about rule keeping and less about relationship building, you're burning too much oil. It is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Running on willpower instead of God's power, trusting in our good works instead of God's great works, pouring too much of ourselves into our job and not enough of ourselves into God. We're pouring too much of ourselves, I'm preaching to myself, families, we're pouring too much of ourselves into our devices and not enough of ourselves into each other. We are burning, church, too much oil in committee meetings and not enough oil on evangelistic meetings. We are burning so much oil on the board meeting that we don't have any energy oil left for the soul winning. You know, in recovery, there was this saying, and that was, look, as in addiction, if I used every day an act of addiction, then I'm going to need some recovery every day in order to stay clean. And that is the biggest truth. You see, we cannot live in a broken world. This applies to Christians. We cannot live in a broken world surrounded by evil when the devil is constantly tempting us, shining our light till Jesus comes without a refill. If we do not bring extra oil, we're in trouble. We've got to replenish the oil. Friends, we can't burn oil 24/7 and think 1 hour on the seventh day is going to replenish our oil. And I know for safety reasons, you know, we can't have just a massive group in here. And so we do have a lot of people watching online, and I praise the Lord for us, whether we're watching it online or we're watching here. Praise the Lord. But friends, our life has to be more than we're watching sermons that will not replenish the oil. Once a week worship will not replenish the oil. No, now I lay me down to sleep, prayer is going to cut it. We got to pray like our life depends on it. Because ready or not, friends, the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. And so in Matthew 25:4, it says, the wise ones took oil in jars along with their lamps. The only difference between the foolish and the wise is the wise knew they needed some extra oil. Friends, let me tell you, I don't worry about the people who come in here and say, you know what, Pastor, I am messed up. Those people don't worry me because you know what? They're being honest. They know they need extra oil. The people who come in here and act like, you know what, they never did anything wrong and they don't have any problems and life is just perfectly clear. You see, they think they can make it on what oil they have. The only difference between the foolish and wise, the wise knew that they needed extra oil. Do you know that you need an extra portion of God? You see, friends, what's really crazy is the church that is ready for Christ's second coming, they don't just have a regular portion of the Holy Spirit. They've got a double portion of the Holy Spirit. They took extra oil. We don't just need the early rain of the Holy Spirit. Like Joel 2:23 says, we need the early rain and we need the latter rain. We need extra oil. We need extra prayer. We need extra faith. We need extra grace. We need extra patience. We need extra love. Because friends, the bride is coming. Notice it says, at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. At the time Jesus tells this story, light from an oil lamp had to be constantly cared for. It had to be constantly tended. You know, on a ship, the lamp lighters were so important that even many decades after they no longer used candles to light on a ship, the guys who went and tended the light were still called lamp lighters. During this time, tending the lamp and the light was it was constantly cared for. You see, trimming the wick, it says they trimmed their lamps. Trimming the wick would draw oil from the reservoir. And when you trim the wick, you know, you don't think cutting the wick, it would burn brighter, but it does. If you've got a wick that's not right, it burns, you know, kind of sporadic and dim. So check this out. A good trim would allow the light to burn brighter, more evenly, more consistently, and for longer. Friends, that is God's goal for each of us. God wants you to burn brighter, more evenly. In a world that puts all of its hope, who wins a presidential election, Christians need to burn brighter than that. That is not enough hope to get us through. Why? Because guess what? Your candidate can lose, but your Christ never loses. And they got to see that in your life. They cannot see you going nuts just because your person lost. Friends, Christ still sits on the throne. We got to burn brighter than that. Right now, 10% of the church are doing 90% of the work. We need people to burn more evenly than that. You see, friends, too many of us are letting someone else burn their oil for our work. And guess what? You're going to run out of oil. You see, a poorly trimmed wick creates a flame which is dim and smoky. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is time to trim your lamps. Because friends, Jesus is coming. It is time to trim your lamps. It is time to cut off whatever is holding you back. Whatever is holding you back, that habit, that sin, that bad attitude, it's time to cut that off. Whatever is holding you back from God's plan for your life, it is time to cut that off. If it's dimming your witness, you got to cut it off. If it's robbing you of joy, you got to cut it off. Start trimming whatever is dimming so your light can start really shining. Because ready or not, the bridegroom is coming. Friends, I'm talking about trimming your witness. I'm talking about trimming your life. You cut off the fat so you can start shining bright. I'm talking about getting out of yourself by serving someone else. I'm talking about becoming so lost in Bible study and prayer that you can never get lost to the world. I'm talking about becoming so enamored by the love of Christ that we start loving people. Yes, even those people that we don't like. You see, it's very interesting to me that nobody knows who the foolish and the wise are. They cannot tell the foolish and wise apart until the very end. That's the same for we don't know who's really lost and who's really saved. This is why it is an utter waste of time for us to judge people, because you don't know whether they're foolish or wise. This is why we can't put people up on pedestals.
And this is why pretending we've got it together is absolutely pointless. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 10, 26, you've got to get this. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed. And nothing is hidden that will not be made known. Faking will not last for long. In fact, I want a church, listen to this, I want a church where making mistakes and admitting mistakes is more important than faking perfection. What a waste of energy and time. And yet, because we punish people when they get honest, what can we expect? People ain't going to get real with you, because when they get real with the church, we chew them up, we eat them up, and then we spit them out. I want a church where making mistakes and admitting them is better than faking perfection, where honesty isn't punished, where people can get real about their struggles. Why? So they can get a refill of the Holy Spirit. I want people to come in here, you know what, I messed up this week. I need help. Give me some extra oil. I need a refill. You cannot get extra oil if you don't admit that you have to have more oil than what you have on your own. I want to be in a church where making mistakes and admitting them are better than faking perfection. Notice it says, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise, notice this, answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. It seems to take this really uncharacteristically harsh turn. I mean, the wise have to get honest with the fools. Church, let me tell you right now, you have got to stop burning your light for people who don't care a thing about the light. You've got to stop throwing your pearls among swine. See, you show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Notice what Proverbs says, walk with the wise, and you're going to become wise. You associate with fools, and you're going to get into trouble. You see, I'm done wasting time with people who tear down instead of build up. I'm done wasting time with people who are always negative, that have a problem for every solution. I'm done spending time with people who give more credit to sin than to the power of their Savior. Because what you don't realize is when you hang around with these people, they're taking your oil. They don't have any oil left. And so now they're dipping into yours. They're not happy. So they're going to try to rob you of your happiness. They don't have assurance of salvation. So they're going to try to rob your assurance of salvation. You see, they're stealing your oil. You see, they did not spend time in prayer and preparing them for their day. And so when something happens and they lose it, they're going to try to take it out on you. They don't have any oil and they're trying to steal yours. It is time, church, to tell the skeptics and the critics and the negative bigots, go buy your own oil. You're not getting any of mine. You're not taking my joy anymore. You're not robbing me of my assurance of salvation anymore. You're not stealing away my salvation. Friends, listen to me right now. If you want to get ready for heaven, I am here to help. But if you insist on going to hell, you can go to hell on your own. I'm not going to hold your hand on the way. Go buy your own oil. Friends, you cannot borrow someone else's Bible study and prayer. You got to go buy your own oil. You cannot siphon someone else's patience and prayer time. You got to buy your own oil. Parents, your faith is not enough for you and your children. They've got to have their own oil. They have to have their own faith. And you're the best person to cultivate that faith. You're the best person to be there. But you've got to encourage them to make decisions on their own so that they develop their own faith. Otherwise, they're just drawing from your faith and you cannot share that oil. You see, friends, when it comes to being ready, you couples, you can't ride on each other's coattails into glory. Your spouse's faith will not save you. You've got to have that faith. When it comes to having enough oil, we've got to have enough oil for ourselves. You know, it's like the saying also in recovery, we would say you can't help someone else if you're not
taking care of yourself. And that goes for us. Some of us are spending so much on our oil, being the caretaker for everyone else. We're burning up our oil. We're wearing ourselves out. We're gonna run out of oil. And so notice, he tells them to go buy their own oil. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him. And in the marriage feast, and check this out, the door was shut. You know what this word ready means? It says they were ready. It means prepared. So check it out. The foolish try to fill up in a few minutes what the wise spent their whole life filling up. The foolish bridesmaids remind us no last minute arrangements will cut it. Marriage is not some spontaneous emotion. It is a daily decision. Only those who are ready and prepared get to go in. And I don't know about you, friends, but I'm going in. I don't know about you, but I'm going. I may not be the first person in heaven, and I may be the last person in heaven, but I don't care as long as I get to heaven. You see, you got to be ready yourself. You've got to make sure you are ready. Notice, Revelation 19:7 says that the bride has made herself ready. That's important. You see, when it comes to being ready, that is between you and God. It says, made herself ready. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing in the church and ask yourself, what are you doing to get ready? Some of us are so focused on what other people are doing, we are forgetting what we're doing. You see, when it comes to being ready, that's between us and God. That's between me and my Savior. Stop worrying about what everyone else is doing. Well, Pastor, they're wearing this. Well, so what? You're looking at what they're wearing. You got to get your head in connection. Get yourself ready. Yeah, but Pastor, so-and-so is still doing. Get yourself ready. I'm not saying there's not a place for accountability. Absolutely. But when it comes for the bride being ready, she made herself ready. Stop worrying about what everyone else is doing and get yourself ready. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. You see, friends, only people who know the groom personally get to go into the marriage reception. You see, the fact that these virgins try to buy something that they can only receive for free is proof they don't know the groom. They don't know, they are not the bride. The fact that you're trying to buy the entrance into instead of receiving it as a gift is proof they don't know the groom. They don't know salvation. Friends, Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride, the church, the true church, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Heaven is not filled with perfect people. Heaven is filled with the thirsty people for the perfection of Christ. They're thirsty for Jesus. They know they don't have enough oil, and they've put their faith solely into their master's hands. Friends, if you're trying to pay your way into heaven, that sounds more like a prostitute than a bride. A bride does not have to pay to get married. Stop wasting time trying to buy something you can only receive as a gift. Friends, our true Hosea, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Revelation 14:4 tells us they kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. So check this out. Being compared to virgins doesn't mean that they are inherently perfect or that they never messed up. No. You see, according to Revelation, how did they keep pure? They kept pure, following the Lamb wherever he goes. You see, this is so key. They're not perfect. He's perfect. They're not blameless. He's blameless. And notice what it says. They have been purchased. Salvation isn't for perfect people. It's for purchased people. Jesus purchased us from the slave block of sin. Jesus is our Hosea. And from Calvary, where we abandoned Christ, where we cursed him, rejected him, our sin killed him. And yet amazingly, according to Revelation 21:9, the Bible tells us that Jesus still wants to get married.
Hallelujah, friends, here comes the bride. And the Bible tells us, rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Not will come, has come. You got to make a decision right now. I can hear the midnight cry. What about you? I can hear the midnight cry. Here is the bridegroom. It's time to come out to meet him. You know, the same word for cry here in Greek is found in another place. This cry, the midnight cry, here is the bridegroom. That word cry we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, the midnight cry, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The fact that this cry was heard at midnight tells us several things. It was when the church least expected it. It happened at midnight, which was the darkest time of the day. Friends, there's going to be a time of trouble such as never been seen since it was a nation till this time. But at that time, Michael, our prince, our true and better Hosea, will stand up for his people. You see, both wise and foolish fell asleep. But the moment the wise heard the cry, they got up and ready to go. I'm ready to go. What about you? Friends, whether I die before Jesus comes and sleeps, or if I'm alive when Jesus comes, the bottom line is the wise virgins, when they hear that cry, they get up and they go. I'm ready to meet my bridegroom. I'm ready for no more funerals. I'm ready for no more diseases. I'm ready for no more taxes. I'm ready for no more lying politicians. I'm ready for no more visits to the unemployment office. I'm ready for no more riots and no more racism. Hallelujah. Here comes the bride. No more sin to separate. No more paralyzing fear. No more hiding. Come out to meet him. Come out to Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will hear that midnight cry right now. And Lord, there is only one response, and that is to come out and meet you. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will refill our oil. We are wearing ourselves out at both ends. We are busier than we've ever been, but we are seeing less fruitfulness than we ever have. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus you will give victory where victory needs to be won. But it has to begin with honesty. We've got to be willing to come in here and say, you know what? I need extra oil. I need extra help. I need an extra portion of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be like Elisha. I want a double portion of what Elijah had. I pray you would pour out your Spirit on your church right now, that we would confess our sins, that we will confess our false idolatry, all the things we have put up on such a pedestal, that we will confess our idolatry. We will repent. And we will turn back to you so you can refill our oil. Lord, maybe someone here has never made that decision to be baptized, or they need to be rebaptized. I pray today they make that decision. The kingdom of heaven is closer than any of us think. The kingdom of heaven is open and available to us right now. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will make that decision to surrender all to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.